want to know. So this is your chance. You can ask anything you like. Like what your favourite sandwich filling is. I don't know. What do you want to know about this person at the front who's going to be sharing with you quite a lot this weekend? Just turn to the person next to you and think of a question that you want to know the answer to. Because we're, thank you, thank you. Well, we're meant to be joyful people, aren't we? You know, I have a think about a question. I'll ask them at the end of my bit. But I love the local church. I really, really do. And I believe the local church, churches like yours and mine, that we are the hope for the world. I really honestly believe that. I've been a part of working for the local church pretty much all my life. I didn't grow up going to church. Please don't worry if you've got kids here and you think they might cry. I can talk louder than they can cry, so don't worry about that at all. Honestly, I didn't grow up going to church at all. I didn't know anything about God or Jesus or anything. And I was about 16 years old, and I went to this party, and I saw this girl there that I quite fancied. So I thought she was a bit of a hottie. So I went up to her and I asked her out. And she looked at me and she went, no. And I know you're all going, why would she say no to that? So she said no. And I was kind of a bit shocked that she'd said no. And I said, why? Why have you said no? And she looked at me and she said, because I'm a Christian and you're not. And that just blew my mind. I mean, I didn't really know what a Christian was, apart from what I'd learned in RE classes. So I just said to her, oh, I'll become a Christian then, right? And she laughed and she said, no, no. She said, you've got to come to church and you've got to learn who Jesus is. And I was like, well, all right then, right? If that's what it's going to take to go out with you, I'll go to church. So I asked her which church she went to. And I was living down in Amersham at the time, which is around the M25. And she told me this little local Anglican church was the one she went to. And I said, all right, I'll come to church on Sunday. It was like the easiest evangelism she's ever done in her life. And so I rocked up at church on the Sunday morning. I had on my suit and tie because I thought that's what you had to wear to church. And it was the most surreal experience of my life. It was weird. And I'm going to be talking about this in perhaps my third session. But because we've been in church so long, we forget how weird it is for the outsiders coming in. We forget how strange some of the things we do are. So I turn up at this church. It was an Anglican church. There's a bloke at the front. As far as I can work out, he's wearing a dress, right? And he starts, and I'm sitting there and it's cold. And I'm like, why have we got a church that's cold, right? And it was weird, and everyone else was sitting down, and I'd stand up, and then when they were standing up, I was sitting down. Because nobody, we don't tell each other what we have to do. We just kind of assume that everyone knows. Everyone's singing songs. I didn't have a clue what they were singing. The bloke at the front, I later turned out to be the vicar, but I just thought it was a bloke at the front. He started preaching. And he, halfway through his talk, he said, oh, you all know the story of David and Goliath. So I shout out from the back, I don't like that. So he has to stop his sermon and tell me the story of David and Goliath, like really, and then carry on. And then we had prayer time, right? And he said, right, what I want you to do is kneel down and hold hands with the person next to you. So I was like, that's all right, this is this girl that I quite fancy sitting on my left, that's okay. And then on my right is this dude, right, this old, all right, okay. So I'm holding hands, they do the prayers, that's fine. I go to church the next week and thinking I've got this sussed. The guy at the front says, we're going to pray. I assume that means you have to hold hands with the person next to you. You don't, right? Halfway through the prayers, I open my eyes to find me and this other guy are the only two people in the whole church holding hands. He's looking at me as if I'm a bit strange, right? And church went on like that. It was weird. One week, it was so bad, I let the stink bomb off in church. And they had to abandon church halfway through. It was that bad. The vicar said, we're just stopping church. And everyone went out. the offering came round. He said, and I clearly remember it, the guy at the front said the offering was for the poor of the parish. Well, I thought I was poor. I didn't have any money. So when the offering came round, I took money out. It's absolutely true. But, and now it sounds like I'm having a go at this church. Do you know what? I love them to bits because they loved me into the kingdom. They didn't get me. They didn't understand me. I certainly didn't fit in with them as a group, but they just kept loving me. Every week, there were people who wanted me to be there, and they just loved me into the kingdom. I went going. There was a group of young people that I got to be friends with. About a year and a half in, we went to this youth weekend away. Now, if I'm honest, I thought, this is my chance to get with the girl, right? That was why I went. But God kind of had other ideas. And we were singing a worship song. And it was a song, an old 80s song, You Laid Aside Your Majesty. And it was about Jesus dying and rising again. And I suddenly realised I believed what I was singing. If you'd asked me the day before, I didn't believe a word of it. I'd already had three fake conversions where I pretended to become a Christian because I thought that'll get this girl to go out with me. And even on the third time, I'd put pepper in my pocket and I rubbed my eyes with pepper to make myself cry because then I thought she'll really be convinced I've become a Christian now. And every time I said, I've just become a Christian, she looked at me and she went, no, you haven't, like that, right? I was like, oh. But this one time, I suddenly realised I believed it. And I went outside. Now, I don't know if you can do this theologically, but I did. I went outside and I made a deal with God. And I said, God, I don't know if you're real, but I believe in Jesus and I believe he died and rose again. And I want to spend my life telling young people about Jesus. And I've kept my end of the bargain and God's kept his. And in his grace, he's allowed me to work as a youth worker, telling young people about Jesus. And it's been the most amazing ride possible, really. And I've worked for loads of different local churches. I worked for West Road Church in Bury St Edmunds for 7 years. I went back to be the youth worker back at that Anglican church. Can you imagine what it's like going back and working? I worked there for 7 years. I've just spent the last 10 years working as a youth worker for the Forge Community Church in Debenham, Thurston. We've got several sites. But over the last 3 weeks, I've just changed my job. And I'm now, it's a poncy title, but I'm now the Diocesan Youth Advisor. So I work for the Anglican Church in this whole region. And from Bury St Edmunds to Ipswich, there are 452 Anglican churches. Most of them don't have any children or young people at all. And part of my job is to go in there and as gently as possible say, do you realise in 5 years you're going to be dead? Not to the people, right? That would be bad, but to the church. And to try and say, look, we need to change. Now, I'm going to be talking about change quite a lot this weekend. I want to be really clear. I'm not talking about changing theology. I'm not talking about watering down who Jesus is or what he did on the cross. And it's not about denying the death and resurrection, but it is about how we communicate. And so part of my job is to challenge these churches. And the other part of my job is to really encourage them, because I know that even with stats and metrics, they don't always work when you're talking about the kingdom of God. And God often does some crazy, delightful, strange things. So I've spoken for way longer than I should have done. Our sessions this weekend, I've called Can You See Him? And we're going to be stuck in one story in the book of Luke for the whole weekend. You're going to know this story inside out. One story at the end of Luke, which I'm going to read at the beginning of every session that we have. And it's, can we see him? Because I'm convinced we spend a lot of our time going, do you believe in God? Forgetting that he believes in us. And his plan for the church, His plan for the world, his salvation plan is the local church. Church like yours. You know, just take a look at each other. You are God's best plan, right? You are God's plan. There's no plan B. You are it. And I mean this literally, God help us, right? Because we are his plan. But I believe he wants to use us to change the world. Except we go through life kind of with our eyes closed, swayed by whatever message comes along, almost robotically just going through life. And we forget to see what God is doing. I mean, even on your way here, you're probably rushed. You got back from work. You're packing the car. Kids are crying. You're trying to stuff a sandwich in their mouth to keep them, you know, all of that. We forget to see him. We forget to see him in their laughter. And we forget to see him in the mundane of the job that we're doing. So we're going to spend our time in this story, this one story at the end of Luke. And it's a passage about the disciples. And it's a passage about Jesus. And it's a passage about disappointment. It's a passage about doubt and fear. It's a passage about can we see Jesus when life gets in the way. But it's also a passage about joy and hope and resurrection and certainty in the midst of uncertainty. So I hope this weekend, I hope I'll make you laugh. I hope I'll challenge you as an individual, but also as a church. Because I've been praying for you as a church. And I think God's got some things he wants to say.